It's great to see you this morning, church. Thank you very much for being a part of our worship here at the Isaiah City Church of Christ. I do want to take this time again to say thank you to those who may be visiting with us. You are indeed an encouragement and a blessing to us. I appreciate Brother Steve leading us in the songs today. As you probably have seen, that our theme around our service today would be about Jesus Christ. And again, we always strive to talk about Jesus, to sing praise to Jesus. But today especially, I really wanted to conclude our series of lessons on Jesus fighting for us. And today, what I'm going to do is walk you through the scenes of Jesus being on the cross. And the reason I do that is for a few reasons. Number one, it's always good to be reminded of Jesus and what He did for us. As Kevin stood up here and directed our minds in the Lord's Supper, he made mention that it be the most important reason we gather, and that is indeed accurate. Bill also talking about that in his prayer. But I also want to go through the crucifixion scene because it's the greatest fight that's ever been fought, folks. We talked starting 3 weeks ago about fighting. And again, we're not throwing punches. We're not physically fighting, but there is a spiritual battle going on. There is a war that the devil is trying to win with you, and he's trying to win with me. And he's going to throw everything that he can at us. He's going to fight dirty. He's going to fight unfair. He's going to outnumber us at times. But the reality is, Jesus Christ, because He fought for us and won, we can win too. And today, it is my hope and my prayer that at the end of this lesson, if you have not yet submitted your life to Jesus Christ, you have not submitted your life to the battle ahead, for God to fight your battles. If you've not entered into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, through the watery grave of baptism, it is my prayer that today you will not hesitate anymore. You'll surrender it all. You'll throw your hands up and say, God, I give up because I want you to take my battles, and that you'll submit your life to Christ. Or there may be some here at the end of this lesson that have done that. But from the time that you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ till now, there's been some distractions. There's been some failures in a family. There's been failures in relationships. There's been problems at work. There's been problems throughout life. And there's sin involved, and there's a lot of things involved. And I want to remind you today that even though that be the case, we have a moment that you can come home. You can get back in the ring. You can get back in the fight. Because God is willing, He's longing, He's wishing that you will come home today. You know, throughout history, we have seen God be with His people. David, when he went into the battle against Goliath, I love to tell that story because not only is it a child story, it's an adult story that reminds us of the Goliaths in our life that need to fall. There are a lot of giants, there are a lot of obstacles, there are a lot of things going on. And when David went to in 1 Samuel 17 and he heard what Saul was giving, what nobody stepping up, this giant invading and challenging Israel, he couldn't believe why nobody else would. And so he agreed, and you get to the battle scene and there it is. They're in that valley. Remember, there was a cliff on one side, a cliff on the other. They would meet down in the valley. And in that valley, they were going to fight. That's as simple as we can put it. There was going to be a fight. And Goliath was insulted when he saw David come down. He questioned Israel. He said, do y'all think I'm a dog? He said, what are you doing sending this little bitty boy to fight this giant of a warrior? But in David's mind, because God was fighting for him, he was thinking, what are you guys doing sending this little bitty giant to fight my big God? And because of that, David went on to victory because God fought the battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. God fought with him. I want to fast forward you now to the New Testament. The stoning of Stephen. One of the most powerful lessons in all the Bible to me. Stephen was a man that was chosen to serve as what we would call deacons today. He was a servant of God. He was chosen to serve the widows. And so Stephen then upped his game from that point forward. He went about, and we learn a little bit more into his insight. He was very bold in his speech. He was able to look people in the face and tell them they were wrong. He did it in love, but it made them mad. Along the way, he gained some enemies. And those enemies were standing there mad as you can be at him. They were gnashing at him with his teeth. And so as they were coming out to stone him, they came and they saw Jesus. Stephen gazed up into heaven and saw Jesus Christ. Jesus was not sitting at the right hand of God. He was now standing. He was reminding Stephen, and I believe reminding us today, that he is willing to stand with us during the fight. And because he stood, Stephen had the confidence, and he begged God, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin," as they killed him. And I believe it made an impact on the man who was holding the coats that day, named Saul. So today, what I want you to see from this is, number one, God's going to fight with us if we allow him to. There's a fight, folks. There is a fight that we have to get in. But also, I want you to see that Jesus Christ is also there, standing, waiting for us. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark 15 now, please. In Mark 15, I'm going to walk you through this, and I want your minds to go to the cross. I don't know what you do during the Lord's Supper. Steve always does a great job of picking a song that really it prepares our minds. That's what it's supposed to do. And so sometimes I focus on those words. But sometimes I focus on the crucifixion itself. In the history of my movie watching, I've seen Passion of the Christ one time. That's all it took for me because it embedded in my memory. And sometimes I see those scenes of the man who portrayed Jesus Christ in that movie being beaten and being mocked and being crucified. I don't know what you do to focus on Jesus, but today I want us to focus during the sermon. I want us to look at this in a manner that reminds us what Jesus went through. He's a fighter, folks. People call Jesus, they always draw him frail and puny. But Jesus was a man. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ was a man. And what I mean by that is he was strong. He was tough. To go through what he went through at Calvary reminds us that he could take on any fight there was. But in all of this, he never threw one punch. He never threw a punch physically. But man, he delivered a knockout blow spiritually. And because of that, we can too today. I'm going to pick up with you in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, verse 14, verse 13, really. You see the scene, and Jesus is now, we fast forward in his life to, he is coming before Pilate. Remember, he went from mock trial to mock trial. He's been in Gethsemane. They arrested him. I think it very interesting that Judas would know that Gethsemane meant something to Jesus. And so he knew that Jesus would be at Gethsemane praying, I would imagine. And so there they, after the prayer, they come to arrest him. And of course we have the scene where Peter's swinging swords and everything else, but Jesus is healing the people that Peter's trying to cut the heads off. And it's an amazing scene, right? And so we get to the point though that he goes from Caiaphas and, you know, all the situations he does, but ultimately he ends up in Pilate's hands. And so today I'm going to pick up there because Jesus in this fight fought four classifications of people that chances are we're fighting too. Maybe not by name, but in some type of direction and some type of situation, we're fighting the ones that represented Jesus Christ in this. And that fight is against us. That fight is not for us, it's against us. And so I want you to see this. First of all, Pilate would represent our government, right? But Jesus first, right here, right off the bat, he's going to fight Pilate. Now again, in all this, he never throws a punch, but I want you to understand that as we go through it. In verse 13, the crowd is getting riled up. And so, you know, the way it is Jesus is innocent, and Pilate knows that. In fact, his wife, according to Matthew, has had a bad dream and she couldn't sleep. And so she goes to Pilate and says, don't have anything to do with this man. And so Pilate really wants to move this along quickly, I believe, in my study, in my mind. And I think he thinks, well, I'll threaten him, I'll do this, and I'll put Barabbas up, and they'll just obviously choose to let Jesus go. Well, he was wrong, because there was a fight. So as Jesus stands before Pilate, and you can picture him there now, standing arrested, soldiers by his side, waiting to hear his verdict. He's already had an encounter with Pilate, and Pilate's wanting to know truth, and are you the Son of Man? It is as you say, those type of things. And so all of a sudden he says, what do you want me to do with this man? And you know what they yell out? They yell out, crucify him. Whoa, things have escalated very quickly in Pilate's book. Not only do they want this man to be punished, they want him to be killed. They want him to die the cruelest death known to mankind. So Pilate, in my opinion now, he starts backtracking a little bit. He says, but why? What evil has he done? That's a fair question, right? Why? What evil has he done? But note in the scripture in verse 14, they cried out all the more, crucify him! Okay, Pilate, you've got a choice. But again, Jesus is fighting government. He's fighting Pilate. He's fighting laws that are against him because he's claimed to be who he really is, the King of the Jews. Pilate said, what evil has he done? And they're crying out, crucify him. But the next part of that says, so Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd. Isn't that what government does? The ones that scream out the loudest, they get the biggest voice. And so the crowd is crying out, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate is afraid an uproar, tumult is going to happen. And so he says, okay, give me the worst criminal that you can know. And so they delivered Barabbas. And then he took Jesus. Mark reads it real quick. He says it real quick. They delivered Barabbas after they had scourged him to be... They delivered Jesus after they had scourged Jesus to be crucified. But I want you to see that scene now. So they not only is Pilate gratifying the crowd, but he's going to take Jesus and he is going to beat him. Now I know you've heard lessons on scourgings before, but I want you to know there was nothing G-rated about what happened to Jesus Christ in this scourging. When you go to the movies, it says, if this movie is rated R, you must be accompanied by adult folks. Even us adults, it would have turned our stomachs. A scourging was meant to punish and just about kill the person that was going to receive the scourging. They would take scourges, normal whips, that would have something ground up in it. It could be pottery, it could be bone, it could be glass, whatever it was ground into that whip so that it would reach into the skin and grab the skin and pull it away from the body. And there was no law, really, on how many times these guys were good at what they did. So they would start hitting him. And they would hit 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 him. And Jesus is ripped to shreds. He's fighting. But the fight has just begun. He's fighting Pilate. He's fighting those who are against him. And so they beat him until he is a bloody mess. And they say, stop. They probably could have beat him a few more times and went ahead and killed him. But that's not what the crowd wanted. We have to fight Pilate. We've got people against us. When you live in a time when you can take the cross of our Savior and put it in a jar of urine and call it art, Or you can take the rainbow, which was a promise of God, and let it represent sinful behavior. We live in a time that government's against us. The media is against us. They're trying to muzzle us. Jesus fought government. Jesus fought Pilate. Jesus fought scourges. Because He fought them and won, we can too. But that's not all Jesus fought that day. From that point forward, they take Him. If you look back in verse 16, it says, the soldiers led Him into a hall called Praetorium. And there they called together the whole garrison. And they clothed Him with purple. And they twisted a crown of thorns. And they put it on His head and began to salute Him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! Then they struck Him on the head with a reed and spat on Him. And bowing the knee, they worshipped Him. And after they had mocked Him, they took the purple off Him, put His own clothes on Him, and led Him out to crucify Him. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear His cross. Now let's stop at that scene. Let's go through the whole scene and break it down. The next people they fight are the ones that are in power that are against them. And that's at Praetorium. Praetorium was a hall where the soldiers were. And so they get Jesus from this bloody mess and they take and they make fun of Him now. You got anybody against you that you work with? You got anybody against you that you live around? You got anybody against you that you live with? They take this bloody Jesus and they put a purple robe on Him. And then they take this crown of thorns and they grind it into His head. And then they start making fun of Him. Bowing down, bowing the knee, mocking Him. You're the King. Look at the King. He's standing there now. You've got to see Him. Blood is flowing His face. Blood is flowing His body. He's got this purple robe on representing royalty. And He's got this crown of thorns. And people are bowing to God in the flesh in a mocking way. If that wasn't enough, they say, okay. They take a reed and they hit Him in the head, grinding all that down into His head again. Then they take spit. One of the most disrespectful things that can ever be done is to spit in the face of someone. That's in our day, that was in their day. And somebody takes one of those soldiers, thinking this is funny, thinking this is a cool thing to do, thinking this was a smart thing to do, they spit in the face of our Savior. Jesus losing a lot of blood in the meantime. But the blood is starting to clot. So they don't just easily rip that stuff off of Him. They snatch it off of Him. Reopening wounds again. Bleeding again. Pain again. And Jesus is getting weak. He's tired. He's been up all night. He's so weak. That what do they do now? Jesus, okay, get your cross and I want you to get out of here. You see, Mark reads it like, oh, hey, they had some heart. They had some sympathy on the guy. They got old Alexander out of the crowd. I mean, Simon out of the crowd. They got him out of the crowd and they said, hey, buddy, we want you to carry the cross of Jesus. That's not what they did, folks. What they would do is they would make fun of Him along the way, maybe even hitting Him with some regular whips, like an ox or like an animal. Hey, get up! And they're criticizing Him. And Jesus has gotten so tired. He's so dehydrated. He's so blood lost. He's so miserable that He falls down. Well, then they would take, when He would fall down, an ox goad. You know, oxes are stubborn and sometimes they would plow and they would sit down. And so they would take a goad, which would have a point on it, not a point that would penetrate the skin, but it would goad that ox enough that he would get up and start plowing again. So they would take and they would goad Jesus like an animal. Get up. And Jesus would. He'd get His strength back. He'd get up. But eventually, they could have goaded Him all day long and he couldn't have gotten up anymore. It is at that point they said, get Simon, get this guy out of the crowd and you carry it the rest of the way. That's Praetorium. That's who he fought. He fought Pilate. He fought Praetorium. Folks, we have, on a much smaller scale, the same type fights. We've got people who are ridiculing us. We've got government and laws and different things that are against us. Media and Hollywood and everything else. We can throw our hands up. Or we can put the gloves on. But Jesus also fought that day people. If you pick back up in verse 22, it says there, they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots to determine what every man should take. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the inscription of his accusation was written above, the King of the Jews. With him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, aha, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. Even those who were crucified with him reviled him. When I think about the people who wanted a souvenir, they stripped Jesus naked. I mean, his mother's there. Think of the humiliation. He's beaten, he's bloodied, he's miserable, he's been spat on, he's been made fun of. But now he's got a crowd around him. People that want to gamble for his clothes. That's like when people go to a baseball game and they ask the guy who caught the foul ball, hey man, will you throw me that souvenir? They just wanted that souvenir. Then he's got people coming by blaspheming him. Hey, you built a temple in 3 days. Save yourself. Chief priests are coming by. The religious people of the day. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. I can't help but think in that crowd, there was somebody that had been healed by Jesus. I don't know that. What if blind Bartimaeus, and I don't want to put any doubts in people, what if Bartimaeus was there? What if that leprous man was there? I hope they weren't. I hope they weren't the one. But don't you think, with a crowd that size and Pilate being so scared for an uproar to happen, there had to be a group of people, and in that crowd, somebody had been affected by the healing and power of Jesus Christ and they turned on Him. Because when we get what we want sometimes, we give up on God. God, if you do this for me, I'll only do this for you. And then when God does it for us, we forget that promise. And we turn our backs on Him. Don't think it ridiculous because the Hebrew writer said, every time we sin, we crucify anew the Son of Man. So with that, how does it relate to us? Folks, we can't heal anybody. But there are those that we've helped that have turned their backs on us. Let me tell you, that hurts. I believe that hurt Jesus just about as much as anything. But we can't give up. If I said, raise your hand if you've been gossiped about, I would guess almost every hand will go up in here. Raise your hand if you've been called out on Facebook. I have. Raise your hand if people have said, hey, my kids aren't getting baptized because of you. I have. And I could go on and on. Hey, raise your hand if you've had somebody look you in the face and say, I hate you. I have. I'm not trying to make you feel sorry for me. I'm just saying I've been there. Not to the point of Jesus Christ. But chances are you have too. Let me tell you, when you're in that moment, it gets real easy to say, I am done. But because Jesus fought through it, so can we. The devil would want nothing more than for us to give up today. But we can't let him. We can't let him win. But there's one more thing I think Jesus fought that day. And that was pain. Jesus, and before I get to the last part of this that I'm going to read to you today, I want you to know there's physical pain. You can't take that scourging. You can't take those nails through your hands and feet. You can't take those struggled breaths on that cross to grind your back up and down it. The ripping off of the crown of thorns. We could go, you can't do all that and not physically hurt. However, as was prophesied, as a lamb is silent before his shearers, yet he opened not his mouth. That means he didn't scream out. He didn't take the myrrh, which would have been the painkiller. He refused it all. So did he feel the physical pain? You better believe it. But folks, I don't think that hurt him the most. I think those people hurt him. Even though he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. But nothing hurt worse than what's about to happen. Now it was the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of those who stood by said, look, he is calling for Elijah. Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine, put it on a reed and offered it to drink. Then Jesus cried out with a loud voice, and he breathed his last. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and he breathed his last, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. For the only time, and it was a 3-hour period. For the only time in the existence of existence, Jesus Christ was separated from His Father. In Gethsemane, He was anxious. He was anxious because He knew what was about to happen. And yes, I know He knew He was going to hurt physically, and folks, He hurt. I don't want to downplay that. He hurt. But I believe that strain and that blood becoming like sweat, that sweat becoming like drops of blood was the angst over him being separated from his father. They beat him. They made fun of him. They crucified him. They made more fun of him. They spit on him. But when darkness came over the land and he bore your sins and mine, God could not look. Because God is so holy, he cannot be in the presence of sin. And for the only time in the existence of existence, God the Father and God the Son were separated. That's real pain. But he fought through it so that up from the grave he could arise. There are people today that are separated from God. And they just go about their life. But today, I hope that causes you the most pain you've ever had. And I mean that with all the love in my heart. Because I don't want you to be separated from God. Man of Sorrows. What a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we. Spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah. What a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven, exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransom home to bring. Then anew, his song we'll sing. Hallelujah. What a Savior. If you need to get in a fight, come right now. Together we stand and sing.